A little while ago, Father Shear and I went to see the movie As the Game Stands Tall, and as they were showing the previews of coming movies, they had one about a movie called Unbroken, which I believe is out, but I haven't seen yet. I would like to see it because it deals with World War II, and I like that sort of history and so on. Also, it always provides good homily material. So, I was talking with the deacon, and the good deacon said, well, you ought to read the book. So he loaned me his book, Unbroken, which I read. It's very interesting. It's about a Louis Zamperini who was in California growing up, then was an Olympic runner, 1936, the Berlin Olympics, then was enlisted in the military. He was a bombardier. That time we had the Army Air Corps, not the Air Force. And he was described as a rather rambunctious child. Actually, the word that appears is feral, which means savage-like, sort of like uncontrollable. Well, he's on a flight, a mission, shot down. He and two other crew members are on a raft for 48 days in the ocean. Eventually, they're picked up by the Japanese. He spends about 2 years in three different POW camps, faces all kinds of brutal treatment, and is released. Well, just to give you an episode, what bothered me about the book so far is the total lack of faith. Now, looking at my own life, I would wonder if I could possibly endure what this man endured. And I know I could not have endured it without faith. Now, his parents were Italian immigrants from Sicily. They settled in California, so I thought immediately, must be Catholic. There's got to be a Catholic in the woodpile somewhere. But no such luck, apparently, at least not practicing. No mention of praying together, going to Mass, the sacraments, First Communion, Confirmation. Nothing like that at all. As a matter of fact, a couple of highlights, I shouldn't say highlights, maybe lowlights, but page 89, before Louis had left the States, he had been issued an olive drab Bible by the Army. He tried reading it to cope with his anxiety, but it made no sense to him, and he abandoned it. Instead, he soothed himself by listening to classical music on the phonograph. And then, as he's on this raft for 2 weeks, it says the two-week mark was a different kind of turning point for Louis. He began to pray aloud. He had no idea how to speak to God, so he recited snippets of prayers that he'd heard in the movies. I thought, how sad. Yet he endured all this. He survived. He's released from the POW camp. But then life becomes very difficult. Life crashes down on him. He has all these bad memories, bad nightmares of what had happened, especially the affliction from one particular guard. He turns to alcohol, becomes an alcoholic. He becomes violent at times, almost loses his wife and his little baby. He just seems to have lost control on life, even has desires of seeking revenge. He's at the breaking point, and his wife finally, and he had forbidden his wife to go to church, of all things, or listen to any kind of preaching on the radio and the like. But his wife convinced him to go to a Billy Graham crusade. And he's about ready to leave, but all of a sudden there's this great spark of grace. And he finally finds Christ. And his whole life changes. It's a wonderful point in reading that book. I don't know if it's in the movie, but there's a conversion. And he finds the ability to forgive, to be reconciled. He does much good for the rest of his life, working for our Lord. But wasn't it sad, I thought? He had no faith foundation. And I dare say his family had failed him. Well, my brothers and sisters, today's the Feast of the Holy Family. And it makes us pause and think how important our faith is. That's why we're here. When I baptize babies, I always say to the parents something like, the best gift you give to your child is your faith. The best foundation you give for your child is your faith. The best friendship you can offer your child is a friendship with Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. He leads us not only through the verdant pastures, but the darkest valleys. He's there with us. And in a post-9/11 age, you and I know how important that is to get through life. Not only to appreciate the joys and blessings that we have, but just get through the times of troubles, the sacrifices, the death of those that we loved. We could go on and on. The faith foundation. So for good reason, we pause and we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And this is a time, especially as we're thinking of this chronological ending of a 1 year and beginning a new year, to pause and look at our family. We have to think, how can I make my family better? More faith-filled, no matter where it stands now. So, we look to the example of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Truly, it makes sense. Jesus was born into a family. After all, God created the family. Going back to Genesis, God made us, man and woman, in His image and likeness. Now, men and women are different. We're different physically, physiologically. And if you're married, you know you're psychologically different from your husband or wife. You think differently. So how do you get the best picture of the image and likeness of God? The most complete picture. Marriage. Man and woman become one. And as husband and wife, they participate in God's creative love and bear children. Great gifts, miraculous gifts. And together as a family, they are called to reflect the life, love, faith that is of the Holy Trinity. So Jesus, when he comes into this world, doesn't come alone. He doesn't come as a general or an emperor. He comes as a little child born into a family. Granted, Joseph is his foster father. Mary is his mother, who had conceived by the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless the family. And they were a holy family. We notice that in the gospel today, they are obedient to the Torah laws. 40 days after the birth, they go to the temple for the rites of purification. They live with God as number one. Their faith was the priority of their lives, the foundation for this family. Yes, Saint Joseph was the spiritual head, the provider, the guardian. He worked as a carpenter. He had to teach Jesus a trade, also how to read and write. That's the Jewish father's role. Jesus had to learn to read the Torah. Saint Joseph was the great masculine example that every boy needs growing up. Never forget, Saint Joseph was indispensable. Without a Joseph, Jesus would have been a nothing in Roman society, in Jewish society. Of course, Mary was a holy woman. She, as the mom, was the spiritual heart of the home, creating that home. And of course, we have our Lord. They lived in their little home of Nazareth. We don't know much about Jesus growing up, really. Maybe that's good, because it was meant to be just a regular family in the eyes of God. Not a family compared to the wealthy of the Roman Empire or the wealthy of Jewish society. No, just a basic, simple family. So what can we learn from this? Well, my brothers and sisters, pause. Talk with each other later today, husband and wife, mom and dad, kids, and think, how can we make our family stronger in that faith foundation? I would suggest some things. First of all, of course, daily prayer, not only individually, but as a family. Whether it is grace at meals, a family rosary, bedtime prayers. I've been blessed to have been invited over to home sometimes for dinner. It's time for the little ones to go to bed. And they all kneel down, maybe at the parents' bed, and they say their prayers. How wonderful that is, to see a family praying together, ending the day with our Lord. Then, too, besides that prayer, Mass. It's so good to see families here at Mass. I know that can be a challenge at times with little ones. Maybe it means having split shifts until they get older, as my parents did at one time. But that Sunday Mass, letting that be the priority of our Sunday day, that this is God's day, we take time for Mass. Also, religious education. Granted, we have the formal programs, but religious education at home. Help your kids know the faith. Some of that can be really simple in a way. Show good DVDs, like we have the real Ten Commandments movie from the 1950s that is much better than the thing that's out today. Or we have other DVDs that teach moral points. Show those. Watch them as a family. Enjoy them. Discuss the values. Much of the time, values aren't so much taught, but caught. Kids see them. They see them lived out. Besides that teaching of the faith, I think one of the greatest ways to be a family is sharing dinner, having that meal together as often as possible. Because by doing so, everyone is helping prepare. Then you sit down, you pray, you talk about things of life. And I know growing up, sometimes that can be tense at times, but nevertheless, that's a family communicating together. These are times when issues may arise. I remember being in sixth grade and at dinner time bringing up some of the facts of life issues that I was hearing about in grade school. And my mom, the nurse, said to my dad, the biochemist, "It's time for you to talk to your son about life." And so they did. But that was good. Thank God I had parents that listened and taught. I didn't have to learn it at school or from other kids. And then besides that, go to confession as a family. I know the kids go to confession at school or the religious ed program, but think of the witness when a family together goes to confession, seeking forgiveness, being willing to forgive each other. Brings a bonding to the family. This is what we need more of in our families. And then parents, you have to always be on guard. The Holy Family had that quiet time of Nazareth. Our families don't always have that because we open ourselves up to so many conflicting forces. Be careful with whom your children associate. Are those children of families of the same values of your family? I could tell you stories of where a family lost some innocence because of being at a neighbor's house. Be very careful. Be very careful of the electronics. We know what can go on through a computer, or nowadays the cell phones with these iPhones and all of that kind of thing. Think of what a child can access. And what does this all do? I've seen families at a restaurant, and you have a mom and a dad, two or three kids, and they aren't talking to each other. They're doing this. All of them. I'm like, here you are supposed to be sharing a meal, and you're all playing with your gizmos. Consider this. Does a kid really need a family anymore? He could have a room, watch a television, have a computer, have a cell phone. Who needs the rest of anybody? So instead of a home, it's a boarding house. Not a good way to have a family. And what's being communicated through all of that? And then, too, we have to be mindful of the busyness. Kids don't have to do everything. Don't raise your kids by what the people across the street are doing. Raise your kids in the sight of faith. Mary and Joseph were simple people. And that's indicated. When they went to the temple for this rite of purification, the Torah prescribed the sacrifice of a lamb. But if you couldn't afford a lamb, you could offer two turtle doves. They couldn't afford a lamb, but they were a holy family. And so we might not be able to have everything that everyone else has. Who really cares? If you have your family, and you have God, and you have your faith, what more do we really need in life? Consider that. This is what your children need. You don't have much time to raise your children. Maybe 18 years before they go off to school. They don't need to have all kinds of busyness in that 18 years. They need to have a strong bond of love that they share together with parents and siblings. Because later on in life, when they're 50 and they might be going through struggles, all the busyness of the first 18 years isn't going to cover that. It's the family relationships and the love that will cover that. Consider all of this. So my brothers and sisters, here we are, Feast of the Holy Family. How wonderful it is to be here. But remember, this book was titled Unbroken. No, he broke down until he found Christ. And there's so many people who have broken hearts, broken lives in this world. It's faith that keeps us together. A friend of mine, out of state, sent me a letter for Christmas and enclosed a letter that his granddaughter had written in an application to a Catholic high school. I'll let her just read a paragraph. Attending Holy Cross Catholic School has truly molded me into the person I am today. I don't remember what grade I was in when I learned that troubles in our lives are crosses to bear, but that understanding has helped me endure my cross. The disease of alcoholism, which has consumed my father, is the cross I bear. Alcoholism has always done more than just affect my father. It has hurt me and my family. This summer, we had to move from our home because my father lost his job again. I never know when I will hear from or see my father now. For years, he has been in and out of my life. Without my Catholic faith, I don't know how I would have gotten through all the sadness that my family and I have experienced. Not an easy life, but what would she be like without faith? So my brothers and sisters, look at your own family. Take time. How can it be a more faith-filled family? Pope John Paul II always said, the family that prays together stays together. Too many broken hearts, broken homes, broken marriages in our world today. Faith gives us the cohesiveness of love that makes our families strong. May God bless you.